Who has the Bible app, the YouVersion? Who has YouVersion? Okay. So depending on your translation, and I have actually, what happened there? Why did I do that? I shouldn't touch the screen. Okay. I have actually decided for the year anyway to receive my notifications in the message. So I just thought this was really cool, given what I'm going to talk about now and what we've already sung about, what we just did. This is James chapter 4, verse 8. It's actually 7 to 10, but 8. So, let God work his will in you. Oh, why do I keep doing that? Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Amen? That's what this morning's about. Mostly. There's some other stuff too. So some time ago we began a series basically about the basics of Christian faith. We said then that we'd be exploring our faith using four words that begin with the letter B to sort of guide us along. First of all, believing in God. Secondly, belonging in community. Thirdly, becoming mature. And then behaving like Christ. We talked about believing in God and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God, as we've been experiencing actually, as foundational beliefs for our Christian faith. We might say it this way, and see it this way, as a lens through which Christians see the world. A playground world created by a gracious God who gave himself for our healing and takes up residence in our spirit, with his spirit to guide us in this lifetime, so that we would see the world as a place where good and bad happen, but where good is just a gift of God to us, and where bad is redeemed by God for us. This is the believer's core assumption, that God is for us, not against us, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. I think our world would be surprised to learn this truth, to experience this truth. But it is what we believe as believers. And so we meet together, world and nationwide, across provinces and in big and small towns to do what? To worship. To declare with our voices and singing and praying and preaching, and to demonstrate the singular worth of God in our lives. So we belong to a global community and a local community of people who follow Jesus, believers. The last time we dipped our toes into this series, we talked about belonging in community. We talked about the church as a community of people, a family, a body, a couple of metaphors, an upside-down kingdom, and a space for spiritual Q&A, so authentic interaction. And we talked about how we could be a people who cultivated belonging. You may remember this, belonging as being different than just fitting in, right? Belonging versus fitting in. As always, if you've missed any of our teachings, they're online. You can find them under the Sermons tab, and this one in particular is under the file Begin Anew. This series has four teachings already. This is the number six, actually. So we have moved from believing to belonging, and belonging as beginning with shared beliefs, like-mindedness, and common values, which shouldn't surprise us, right? These linkages are why we join any community, whether it be a service club like the Kiwanis, a sports team, or a support group, right? And each has a purpose which unifies it. I became a member of Calvary Baptist Church in Guelph, Ontario, 25 years ago because I could align myself with what they believed and what they were doing. And I really, really liked this cutie named Jackie Harrison. And I married her. And that was maybe the first reason why I went to Calvary. Even though I was a Catholic boy, I was welcomed into that church. Even though I had wild, two-toned, spiky, blonde, black hair, sort of like Guy Fieri of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, I was welcomed into that church. Baptist, King James Version only church. Even though I brought the drums into that church, which, by the way, if you're going to bring drums into the church, you bring them in with a youth, and you bring them in with a girl. I'm telling you right now, it was just perfect. They welcomed me into that church nonetheless. I belonged there for almost 15 years, 10 of those on staff. Then I came here. But before I did some research. I read up on our denomination. I learned what I could about our church. And in particular, I carefully sifted through our confession of faith to see if I could align myself with what Crossroads believed and what Crossroads was doing. I got to tell you, I belonged here the minute I got here. As I've said before, I knew I was home when I was rebuked by a member of the search committee on my very second Sunday for not wearing shorts. I thought, okay, this is good. Shared beliefs, like-mindedness, common values, like at Crossroads, church should be fun. Church should be meaningful. And church should be a place where you can come as you are. What is our purpose? Why does Crossroads exist? Or maybe, let's ask it this way, for the sake of illustration, what motivates us as a body of believers? Are we motivated by tradition, as some churches are, where the favorite phrase is, well, we've always done it that way? I don't think so. We began as a non-traditional option to what was back in the day, and that phrase, oh, we've always done it that way, actually gives me a physical rash, and I'm sure it does for many of us. So I don't think that's it. Are we motivated, as some churches are, by the central personality of the church? Moi. I'd say... That's okay, you can laugh, it's good. It's a little too strong, but I'd say yes and no, right? One of the many things I love about our church is that we lean into what each other are feeling called to do in the name of Jesus Christ. So we leaned into supporting my wife, Jackie, when she was working at Chilliwack Community Services to work with families, particularly around literacy and nutrition. We leaned into supporting Debbie Visser and her volunteer work at Cyrus Center. And we currently lean into supporting Ruth and Naomi's mission. And this is true of all of our partnerships. They come from you. They come out of relationship with, and that relationship provides accountability. But we are currently working monthly at minimum with Ruth and Naomi's because of this lady right here, Susan Barber, and Corey Bittner. And we lean into supporting the Salvation Army because of guys like Alf Kochman, and because of guys like me. You have followed me into things that I've felt we've been called to do, even to jingling the bells at Christmas for the Salvation Army Kettle Campaign. I jingle the bells every Christmas. It's really simple. Why? I think it's good to lead by example. That if I'm going to invite you to jingle the bells, I should be jingling the bells too. Hey, here's a cool story. As I mentioned recently, maybe two Sundays ago, a number of you jingled bells this Christmas for the Salvation Army, but on one occasion, something very special happened. Carrie Debsky and her girls and Olivia LaRochelle were at Cottonwood Mall like a couple days before Christmas, at a prime location. Prime because it's indoors. This is where I always jingle the bells, by the way. It's indoors, it's warm, and it's dry, and it's very proximate to Cobb's Bakery, which I love to smell, and this just feels good to be there. They were jingling the bells when a woman approached them and explained that she had a check for the Salvation Army that she wasn't able to drop off at the Care and Share Ministry Center on Yale. She wondered if she could possibly put the check in the kettle and would it actually get to where it needs to go. So she was assured that the check would get where it would go, unfolded it with the amount showing. So the girls saw the amount, and they were stunned. So typically, people offer their change, right? Or a $5, or a $10, or a $20 bill, though someone did slip a $50 into my kettle when I was operating it. I like to think I had something to do with that. I probably didn't. It's mostly the Lord leading them, hopefully, to do that. But it all adds up. Let's put it that way. So it doesn't really matter what, and it's fantastic ministry, and we love to work with our partners, the Salvation Army. But this woman offered $1,000 in that check. So what impact do you think that had on those teenage girls? I know that Carrie was absolutely giddy to tell me the story. They all experienced that day, that moment, that the church is much bigger than just them, that they're not alone, right? That they were united by purpose to love others in the name of Jesus. Very cool. How are we doing for time here? Do we have another story time? Oh, let's go for another story here. So same Christmas, Salvation Army, every year we hand out... We help the Salvation, let's rephrase that. We have for 15 years been the church that has delivered the Christmas hampers on behalf of the Salvation Army to people who cannot get to the church to pick them up. They're shut in, they're sick, they're not mobile, whatever it might be. And so, as you know, Josh was home with his girlfriend Katie, and I invited them into helping me out that Thursday, thinking, like, these are two, you know, young adults, they're going to want to do their thing. And they're, no, they love it, let's do it. And Katie actually said, listen, for every home that we go to, I'd like you to pack everything, every bag, every box onto me. And I'm like, okay, sure. So we packed into her arms, on her back, box, bag. She had four bags of gifts at one stop, but the one stop in particular was at the Vibe, an apartment at the Vibe. And, you know, when we say things like it is better to give than it is to receive, you really know that when you actually do that and you have the sense of being blessed more than you think you're blessing someone, right? So we're buzzing, and we didn't need to because the person whom we were dropping this off to, this First Nations woman, just a beautiful, beautiful, kind, grandmotherly, oh my gosh, so beautiful. She was right there. So we pile in and we go upstairs, and we go up the elevator with her, we go into her, she's offering us coffee. I'm sure we could have slept over. Like it was ridiculous. Like by the time we're leaving, she is hugging us. She's saying, I love you, bless you, have a Merry Christmas, and then she goes for coffee at Tim Hortons. It was extraordinary. And we have done these things together. We have leaned into supporting each other on these things for so many years. There are tons of examples when you've leaned into doing what I think we've been called to do as a church family in the name of Jesus Christ. When we, and this is an old story, when we joined together way back in the day, the Weeb family, they had a car that they wanted to give away to a single parent mom, and we added all kinds of value to it, did some work on it, and gave it away. That was pretty cool. When we ran our first Fun in the Sun 14 years ago, when some thought it was crazy to run a day camp and charge people $50 to be at the camp, that camp is sold out every year. We've had a waiting list every year. Because of you. When we pooled our resources to help a grandparent couple, you may remember this. It was a lie. The son had said their apartment had burnt down and there was a baby involved, and grandparents came on the scene, and there was a bit in the paper, there was a bank account that you could support, but we, because this is how we are, we want to see people face to face. We want to rub shoulders. We are boots on the ground kinds of people. We helped this grandparent couple because they knew their son was not going to be able to raise their child. I actually ran into that couple 10 years ago. Not 10 years ago. We had met them 10 years ago. I ran into them this Christmas at Walmart getting some chocolate-covered jujubes. So they recognized me, and I recognized them, and then around, so this is Gary and Marianne. And then around the corner bounds this teenage girl who would have been an infant to us years ago. They have never forgotten Crossroads. They knew my face and knew my name immediately. How is the church doing? There are loads of examples of us leaning into what each other have been called to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, how do you feel when you lean into what you think God is asking you to do or partnering with others to do the same? It's extraordinarily special, and it's unique to the believer. Are we motivated, as some churches are, by finances? Is our main question, how much will it cost? I don't think so. I think we've adapted when we've needed to adapt. Our small groups ministry, for instance, has had several iterations in my time of being here, the current one being Men's and Women's Connections. When Jackie left Chilliwack Community Services, we looked and prayed to find a way to serve children and families in our city, in addition to Fun in the Sun. So we, this fall, helped out at Friday Night Basketball. When Debbie's work seemed to be done at Cyrus Center, and it mostly is, and some still continue to serve there, we've been given a chance to connect with youth in this school on Wednesdays beginning in January, which I'll talk about at the end a little bit. When we were cash-strapped as a church for 2 years or so, but felt that it was important to continue to support the work of Ruth and Naomi's mission, so it's not how much will it cost, we don't have money for it, it is we feel called to do that. What will God do to help us get there? We were able to get sponsors to help us to prepare and serve a meal once a month, thanks again to Meadow Valley Meats and Panago Pizza Sardis, who continue to partner with us to do these things. So, if these things are not what drive us, what does? What is our purpose at Crossroads? Why do we exist? Well, I hasten to point out that it is always located right there in your bulletin, at least the beginnings of that question. So, if you turn to your bulletin with me, right at the bottom where it says, stay missional, this is why we exist as believers. And because I'm not super fond of banners and colors, and I'm not sure that we are as a church anyway, and I didn't want it to be a long, wordy, windy thing. It was six words. It's six words, right? Follow Jesus, which will lead to you loving people, and in that love you will make disciples. It's really, I don't know how we can make it more simple, actually. All within the context of what we believe, though, right? Now, we began this teaching by saying that Christians believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, but there's a whole lot more that unites us, right? We have a confession of faith that expands and supports our purpose, our reason for existence. It is called, awkwardly I think, the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective, and it can be found on our website at the About tab and then under the What We Believe tab. It has around 24 articles or statements. As I said earlier, I aligned myself with it then when I came here first, and I continue to do so now. And I would recommend that you read it if you haven't already read it to see if your thinking aligns with it or not. Very much as Taylor was inviting us to sing with integrity, to act in integrity, and align yourself with. And if you can't in certain places, ask questions, right? We are not going to go through our confession of faith this morning, all 24 statements. I know that's disappointing. I appreciate that. But here's why. We actually did a whole series on this 3 years ago in 2015. And again, you can find that online. It is, it's called Roots. Subtitle was Digging into Our Confession of Faith. We are, however, going to talk about what we do and how we do it, since we've talked about why we do what we do. So here's the deal. I am trying, and I think by extension we are trying to live our lives as a church consistent really with three foundational scriptures. And let's go at them one at a time. Now, as we look at them one at a time, did I actually put them on? Do you have Okay, open your Bibles then, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. This is commonly known as the Great Commandment. So again, the address for that is Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. If you don't have a copy, follow along with somebody near you and or listen to it as I read it. But what I want you to do is to listen for key words, key verbs, actually. All right? Because in a moment, we're going to summarize into 10 points these three passages as being, these 10-point summaries as being all of what we do as church. So the Great Commandment, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, here we go. Love, circle that, love, 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 love. The Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. So loving is the action. The object of our love is God. How we do it is described with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Why is that, do you think? Because if you love him, your love towards others comes from that relationship. If this relationship is not good, these relationships will not be good. Guaranteed. Sorry. I'm going to go out there and talk to those people. No, I'm kidding. The second is like it. So love the Lord your God. Love is the verb again. Your neighbor, object, as yourself, the second object. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, right? So we have so far, love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. How? As yourself. Now, what is proper biblical self-love? Is it a lot of, love you? Is that it? I say it this way for people who wonder what that might mean. When you love somebody else, you won't tolerate certain behaviors that are aimed at them, that are destructive, that hurt them. Why would you allow that for yourself, for instance? Right? Love also protects, and that's in that understanding, but it also thinks well of itself, right? So love would look at ourselves and say, I am a dearly loved child of God, not a sinning turd of a human being, which we can do. But love doesn't do that, because that's not the truth. And love always speaks the truth. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. So turn in your Bibles forward. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28. So we have love God, love others, love self. Therefore, go and make disciples. There's the principal action. Make disciples, okay? Of all nations. So that's the scope of it. How do we do that? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching, okay? So the main action is make disciples. How we do that, in part, is to baptize them and to teach them what Jesus taught, the commands of the Scriptures, right? Third passage, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This, to me, I would describe as the picture of a healthy church. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through to 47. Are you with me? You got it? I'm moving. I'm going. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I think Ray just went out there and smashed someone in the head. Is that what happened, Sharon? Did he go lay a beat down? He did, didn't he? He's so violent. I'm not even sure he is a Mennonite. I'm sorry, what? How do you know? You can't see. Yeah, very effective. Okay, so they, so believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's one. The apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Fellowship is just hanging around, having cake, New Year's Eve parties at the church. That's not fellowship. That's fun, it's good, and we should do it. But fellowship is meaningful adult interaction with each other so that there's vulnerability and trust built over time where I can pray for you, where when you tell me something that's really shockingly not positive or it might embarrass you, I don't go, what? I go, oh. And I step into that with you and I pray with you and we talk about the healing that is possible, right? That's fellowship. And it is absolutely and entirely unique to the church. It's not possible to have fellowship of this nature that is described in this version of what I would describe as the healthy church for a secular person. Because they don't have the love of Christ dwelling in them through his Spirit. They don't have this like-mindedness, like-valuedness to share, this like language even. They don't have at the forefront of what they believe, this need to forgive and be forgiven. Fellowship, okay, breaking of the bread, so that's communion. And it could be sharing meals, depending how you translate those things. And to prayer, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, so sacrifice, they gave, there's another one, to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. For what? For clubbing? No, to worship, right? Where was Jesus weekly? Where could he be found? God could be found in church. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And this is the verse I love, because for a pastor, this completely removes the burden of what you might say to yourself and what churches might say to you, which is, you got to grow the church, man. That's your job. It's not true. It's not my job. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Not my job. It's God's job. It's Spirit's job to do his job, to convict the world of their sin, but not to leave them there, not to leave them kneeling, but to pick them up and say, I love you. You're forgiven. So if we were to summarize, so these scriptures, all three of them are on our website because they're so core, and these 10 points are all on our website. Did I get them? Did I get them on the PowerPoint? Okay, good. Let's have them. So, love God, go. Love others, yes, go. Love ourselves as God loves us. Next, make disciples. Next, study the Word of God. Now we're answering. So, first two passages, now the third passage, study the Word of God. Next, please. Fellowship with one another, which we talked about a bit. Celebrate the ordinance of baptism and the Lord's table, which we do, which we haven't done in a while. We'll celebrate the Lord's table shortly, though. Pray and pray together, pray for, with each other, meet the needs of others in our own community. So this is about mutual sort of caring within this community, but it's exclusive to this community. It pours out of this community into our city, our province, our nation, our world, right? And then worship, of course. Right, okay. For the sake of clarity, I have Venn diagrammed this in our cycle of discipleship, which, as you may remember, looks like this. Now including these ministry, can you see that? Ministry priorities. Okay, so at the top, so our cycle, as you may remember, is to know, grow, give, go. At the top, under know, it's worship, certainly, but it's to love God, it's to study the Word, to know Him, and that's... And to grow is to love self. Where's love others? Oh, it's in give. Fellowship, ordinances, prayer. A give is to love others. We'll talk about that shortly. Meet the needs of others. And then go is to make disciples. And again, in the Great Commission, the active verb is not go. It's not, okay, you got to go to do this. It's actually in the present participle, so it's as you are going, you are doing what? You're making disciples. So the people who are in your life is who you get a chance to love and to invite into this discipleship. All right, so if we exist to follow Jesus, love people, make disciples, if we're motivated by this, and if we visualize this spiritual adventure, and it is adventure, as moving back and forth between knowing and growing and giving and going, what does it look like specifically? Well, it looks like this now, moving to this slide. Oh, that's bigger. It's clear. It's great. So specifically at Crossroads right now, this is what it looks like as we break it out. So under no, it's worship broadly, and whatever parts we might play in it, even if it's not just. Because you make a choice to be here, right? You could be doing lots of other things, but you've chosen to be here, to align yourself, to belong in a community that is worshiping together. But to make that happen, lots of things have to happen to make that happen. Like a worship team has to show up, a setup team has to show up. So it's all those things. It's set up, worship leaders, music, greeters, ushers, media. We do the Lord's Supper, and there's baptism, of course, as part of that worship experience. Grow, then, small groups, retreats, library, kids' zone, youth, young adults, and, of course, preaching and seminars. Give. So this is giving our time to help others, using our spiritual gifts in service of the church, sharing our resources, and, of course, tithing. And I'm using the word tithing to talk about giving of our monies to support the ministries of the church. And then go, finally, local and global outreach, like our block party in October, like Fun in the Sun shortly, like Friday Night Basketball. That's what FNB stands for. VMS Hangout, again, I'll talk about that shortly, which is Better Middle School VMS. RAND Mission, Ruth and Naomi's Salvation Army, as we talked about earlier, and One Life, One Chance, as you were invited to consider when Cynthia talked about that earlier. This is how we understand and offer ministry, which, by the way, is the key product, if I can put it that way, we have to offer each other and to offer anyone. And here's how we do it. Here's how we deliver it. We have a pastoral staff that equips us and inspires us for ministry by example and by guidance. In the parlance of leadership development, this is one of my favorite sayings. I think it's Maxwell. I'll probably misattribute that. But if you want to know what leadership training can look like in around 8 words, it's this. I do, you do, you do. No, see, I didn't even get it right, sorry. It's so blazed on my brain. I do, you watch. You do, I watch. You do. You with me? I do, I show you, you watch. You do, I watch. You do. That's it. That's what your pastoral team is here to do, a la Ephesians chapter 4. Second thing, our leadership team provides overall direction to the church by meeting regularly for prayer, discussion, and decision-making. And then finally, our lay leaders, that's you, develop and guide the specific ministries of our church by discerning your giftedness and how you want to apply it. Because we do know this for sure. And this is, I'm quoting from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 in the New Living Translation. Do I have it? Do I have it? Do you have it done? There you go. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, to speak the truth as led by God, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. We'll help you figure that out if it's true or not, right? If your gift is that of serving others, am I going in and out here? Yeah, a little bit? I'm good? Okay. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, just do it. Encourage people. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This past September, we began a 2-week teaching series, which we have done several years in a row now, called Who We Are, What We Do, with this image, if I can get that image, Doug. Bingo, that's the one. You may remember this from Alpha Youth, right? So we asked then if the water in this picture of the swimming pool represents a relationship with God, which person in the picture best represents where you're at in your relationship with God? Do you remember me asking that? So here's the question today. How has that changed in the last 4 months? And maybe I could put it this way. Where are you at in our discipleship cycle? Allowing for movement, right? Because it's not static. That's why we've actually cycled it instead of having it as a pathway. As if you get to the end, you're like, I've made it, it's good. I'm good to go home and die. It's cyclical. We go back. We need to know. So how much, for instance, of a priority is it for you to worship weekly with those who share your beliefs, your like-mindedness, and your common values? How important is that? Under no, just worship. Grow. Are you plugged into a small group of some sort to know others and to be known by others at a meaningful level, be it youth or young adults or men's and women's connections? Give. When was the last time you gave your time or shared some resource that you have to help someone else? Have you discerned your spiritual giftedness? How are you using your gifts to serve Crossroads? How are you giving money to the ministries and the staff of our church? Isn't that actually? It's to God, and it's spread that way. Is it generous? Is it sacrificial? Is it thoughtful? And then go. How are you reaching out to others with the gospel, either on your own or with the help of our church family, either here, locally, or globally? So let's end there with a couple of cool, I think, God-crafted opportunities to reach out locally that I'd like us to consider together. The first is going to happen this Friday. And you don't need to be a basketballer to do this, but it wouldn't hurt. Let's say it that way. We need people to sign people in. We need people to be voices of encouragement. And it wouldn't hurt if you could actually hit a free throw or two. I'm not going to lie. Friday night basketball drop-in is something that Lynn and I talked about way back in the day, probably in the springtime even, because Lynn is the lead convener for Friday night basketball in Chilliwack. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Friday Night Basketball, it is a ministry of athletes in action. And it's actually very specific to BC. It doesn't really happen anywhere else in the country. But it's aimed at grades 1 through 8, and they'll allow other grades into that mix. But it is Friday nights, and it's introductory. It's skill development, for sure, drills and skills. And there's scrimmaging, for sure. But at a point in the night, they have what's called cross training, and it is a time to share something, a verse, a story, an encouragement, to lead in prayer, whatever it might be, right? Because Friday Night Basketball is concerned with your basketball skills for sure, some great coaching, but they're equally concerned with you as a person and your character. We're going to continue that, not as Friday Night Basketball Ministry, because they encourage us to do, but we can't borrow their name. So we're calling it Friday Night Basketball Drop-In. And it's going to happen from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on Friday nights for the next 8 weeks. We're skipping one of the Fridays in February because it's a Pro D. So if you had an hour and a half from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on Friday night, come. Bring kids who want to explore basketball. Bring kids who have a basketball. Bring kids who want to play basketball. And stay if you'd like to play with them. And help us out. So between Lynn and I, my daughter Kaylee, one of the Friday Night Basketball coaches, Kevin Berta is one of our folks who was a Friday Night Basketball coach. We have a team of 5 or 6 coaches. We'd like to spread that load around. So if you, and I really do, I want you to think about this and pray about this, because again, this is an opportunity to spend time with kids in relationship where we can be examples of Christ, but also have a chance to pray with them, maybe share a word with them, because we are sponsoring it. We're not going to be bashful about Crossroads Community Church. It is about Jesus. That's why we exist. So if you feel called to that, would you join me? Right? And so When I say that, call me this week because it starts Friday. But it goes for the next 8. And just because you're expecting tomorrow doesn't get you off the hook, by the way. Just saying. I mean, you're moving, so I mean, you can probably do a layup, right? I know Kyle can't because I've seen him shoot. It's not good. But you can come, Kyle. All right. It's my neighbor. Good. The second one of these is the Better Middle School Hangout. Now, I know this is super awkward timing in the week because we're talking about Wednesday and we're talking about from 2 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And we talked about this last spring as something that God was hatching for us. So what I know to be true now is there are 4 committed leaders, and there are some of those are coming from Sardis Community Church. Because again, we are a kingdom-minded church. So can we partner with other churches? You bet we can. And why wouldn't we? So we have 4 committed leaders, but boy, it'd be good to have more. And by leaders, I mean this. People who would show up and spend 2 hours with junior high students, grade 6 and 7 probably. Right? And these grades 6 and 7s in this school are, the selection process will be determined by the counseling staff and the administrative staff of our school here, are generally not connecting well or haven't connected yet. And they're quite peripheral to their own school in terms of friendship building. So it's our chance. Again, this is extraordinary. This is a very secular, in fact, I emailed Gabe this weekend and said, listen, we're going to have pizza every week because Panago is going to sponsor the snack. And it would be habitual for me to ask a blessing on that food, right? Hey, Gabe, so I asked like 7 questions. I get down to number 8, sort of try to tuck it in so he wouldn't see it. Number 8, would it be okay if we sort of gave thanks for the food in some sort of way? So he answers all these questions, you know, sort of fairly positively with this neutral tone. And then it gets to that question. Capital N-O, 5 exclamation marks. Like, I don't know what you're trying to say here, Gabe. I think you're trying to say that we shouldn't pray. And that's okay. But you don't know those things until you ask the question, right? And Gabe actually is one of these iconoclasts who will say, I just want what's best for my kids. Now, because he's in this culture, he'd say what's best for my kids is for it to be spiritually neutral, right? So that we're not hammering on any certain kids. But I'll tell you what, and you've probably heard this too, people will say when they see the difference in you, why? Why are you like that? And I'm not going to say, if no one's asked you that, you should really ask yourself why. You're really living a Christian life. Because it may not happen to you. But it does happen. It's happened to me. And we just need to be ready to answer that question, that's all. So we have this chance to come, and you don't have to come for all, I think it's 17 Wednesdays from January to the first week of June, and you could otherwise, instead of being a leader where you're here weekly and hanging out with the kids, we're going to play board games, we're going to have the gym available to us, we're going to have, I think we're going to get, there is a drama room on the flip side of that portable wall in the multipurpose room. It's got benches. We're going to put, I'm hoping we're going to be able to put some like ping pong and some foosball and some other things in there. We're going to have pizza every week. Did I mention that? There'll be an activity that we're able to do that's going to take an hour of that time, more than half of that time. There'll be some gameplay and all that, but we're looking for people who would come in and even if it's to bake cookies, to show kids how to make muffins, because we have access to the kitchen here. Or if we don't have it here, we have it across the road, which is a great kitchen, by the way, across the road. So if you'd say, oh, you know, I could come in, I could do a craft with 20 grade 6 kids. And if you think, that'll never fly, you're wrong. They're already doing this at 80 Rundle. And they're like rabid for these crafts. Can you imagine 20 junior high kids who don't connect well with the other humans? All in the same room with a half dozen volunteers doing a sock puppet craft for Christmas? It happened. I saw it. So we just need to make ourselves available. So if it isn't basketball, it might be this. If you don't, yeah, discern it. Think about it. Pray about it. Kyle's going to join me. He's one of the staffers that's going to join me on that. Carla's going to join me, I think. Len, who is essentially the interim pastor over at Stars Community Church, is going to join us. So if you have time, let me know. I will remind you this week with an email. All right, let's wrap it up here. That's, whew, okay. Mm-hmm. Follow Jesus, love people, make disciples. We talked about that. We do this by acting out the three basic Bible passages we talked about earlier. And we do that in a cycle of knowing, growing, giving, and going. This is our purpose. This is what we believe. This is how we do ministry. So, as I started even praying, is there a better example than Christ to follow? Is there a way to follow? Is there a way to live that makes more sense than He who is the way, the truth, and the life? Is there a better way to spend your life? If you aren't stoked by the adventure of following God, why is that? And what are you doing about that? If you are stoked about your faith, let me encourage you to share your faith, even with us. It'll catalyze us, right? Being around people with energy and faith is really critical for my faith. But also just to share it with others who don't know him, and that's the Great Commission. Let's close in prayer.